right, Joe? Next item.
So now we're moving on to the enforcement report, item 13. Item 13, if you've taken a look at this item, you'll notice that it is radically different than it has been. Your old enforcement reports were raw data dumps from our database. This new format of the enforcement report provides better and more useful information to the board regarding our enforcement actions, such as settlements or administrative civil liabilities and cleanup and abatement orders. Additionally, this new format provides more detail on the enforcement actions we have taken compared to previous reports, and no longer includes a detailed list of facility-specific reported violations that are still under review by staff. Taya Tryon of our enforcement coordinator is here to both walk us through and I think talk about her staff who contribute to the enforcement program.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Taya Tryon, I'm the enforcement coordinator for the Central Coast Water Board. So who made this happen that you're seeing in this enforcement report? Well, the enforcement team's made up of Michael Thomas, who's the enforcement director. Myself, I'm the enforcement coordinator. And then I have two additional technical staff, Jill North, who's an environmental scientist, and then Todd Stanley, who's the engineer in our group. So we're a small group, but I like to say we're small but mighty. So we get a lot accomplished, and that's why this enforcement report is more accomplished and performance-based. So you can see what we've actually done and the items that we can actually talk about. In the past, with the raw data dumps, those were violations that were reported and evaluated, but enforcement staff hadn't evaluated it yet. So when I come up here and you'd ask me a question about it, I couldn't talk about it because our legal won't let us talk about it. So in terms of the enforcement team, I wanted to highlight one of the main drivers behind a lot of these accomplishments is Todd Stanley. Todd is very quiet and doesn't like to be acknowledged in public, so he's very happy he's not here right now. And I took him out for lunch and gave him a Superior Accomplishment Award, and that was how he would like to have that. But he flies low under the radar, but he is a real amazing asset to our team, and I really wanted to acknowledge him in the public forum because he's terrific and very, very knowledgeable, and I wouldn't know what to do without him. So with that, you will see that the enforcement report is separated into various tables. These are all the different types of enforcement actions that we have taken over the reporting period, which was from December 1st, 2015 to July 31st, 2016. The Water Board has many different enforcement tools that we can utilize, and some of these are listed here. But a lot of that enforcement discussions and enforcement initial evaluations happens with program staff. So how I view the enforcement team is when we reach a point in our cases where the program staff have done the informal calls and there's a lot of those going on and saying, hey, where's your report? Why didn't you submit it? So by the time they get to me or our team, they already don't want to talk to us. And most of our work is negotiation based. A lot of them are settlements, so you never hear about them. But I do want to use that opportunity once the settlements do finalize that you see what we've done. And so program staff does do a lot of work, but by the time we get it, it's usually not super positive. But that's okay because that is our role. And we need to make sure that we bring people back into compliance with their permits orders because that means water quality will improve out there because that's what the permits are for. So when someone's out of compliance with permits, there's a violation of the water code and there's a potential risk to the environment. So we take our jobs very seriously. So table one goes through all the different orders we've issued for administrative civil liability. It we provide here, compared to last reports, we actually provide you with a small summary what the main violation was and how much of the penalty that was imposed, and if the discharger opted to move some of the money to the Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Plant Program, GAP program, which is our supplemental environmental project. And all of these enforcement actions are done using the enforcement policy. And so it's a very structured way of determining what the penalties are. Table two is proposed EPLs. So you see these two EPLs here, or expedited payment program. They're kind of ways of very simple violations, like the minimum mandatory penalty for effluent violations. There is a required $3,000 fine for each of those, or penalty for each one of those minimum mandatory penalties. And so there's no negotiation about that. Those are required. And so we offer them a quicker way of resolving those violations. So the next enforcement report, you'll actually see these as administrative civil liability orders. Because these ones here in Table 2 are just proposed for right now. They have to have 30 days public comment before they become administrative civil liability orders. Table 3 are cleanup and abatement orders. They're pretty standard. Table 4s. Cease and desist order, table 5, time schedule orders. And then we have some stormwater specific for the industrial stormwater permit, annual reporting. They're required to submit reports every year, and they didn't do it, so we send out letters. And then we have table 7, which lists notices of violations, which are informal letters which state the violation, and it's usually associated with an 13267 requirement, which means that it's a request for a technical report to refine information on what the violation was.
Are these feedback you get from state board on the industrial stormwater permits?
We work with the state board, but it's mainly from this database. We do a database query that the stormwater staff, and then they tell us, here's all the ones that have not submitted their annual reports, and then you send out a standard letter. State Board sometimes helps us issue the first notice of noncompliance, and then sometimes the second. It depends on what each region has agreed upon. But there's standard letters just to say, hey, you need to get it to us in 30 days, and then the second reminder.
Thank you.
And then you'll see Table 8, which is separate from the other enforcement actions that have been taken. Remember that long list, multiple pages of violations that John talked about? That has been reduced to just Table 8. It's not facility specific, but the information is still there, but just summarized in categories. And it helps us kind of understand what is up and coming, but we haven't reviewed it yet, so we don't know yet what the enforcement actions that will be taken for those. So that's kind of the new look. It's more, as I said, performance-based, and I think it provides you with a lot more information than before as to what we have done and what we've accomplished. Any questions?
Thank you, Taya, and thank you for mentioning their particular staff members and acknowledging the great work that they're doing, because we don't often get to see, you know, the effort involved in how many people are actually applying, you know, are engaged in moving the process along. And I agree that our focus on seeing the big, long list, we often have many questions that you couldn't answer in a I don't think it was as effective a process, so I appreciate moving us forward to a new approach to interpreting the information in that for coming out of your program in a way that we can kind of see some bigger categories and actually see progress. I do have a question though, and that regards Table 7. So those are NOVs. And I know in the summary, you mentioned that 73 NOVs were issued to ranch owners with regard to the ag waiver order. And I'm wondering, is that, I don't understand how 73 notices are reflected in the table itself. And then the second question, and probably related to the particular group of NOVs and ag waiver order, are those discharger facility in that first left-hand column that are only identified by a number, letter number code? Just if you could help me understand what that means.
Okay. So instead, see how each one of the below the first item, which is the 73,
yes,
notice the violation, instead of listing out 73 kind of identical rows, we just lumped them together into 73 because there's so many of them, and they're all basically the same thing.
Yes.
And then the other ones are specific facilities that are unique to that facility. And then the numbers, they're actually 401 certification numbers. And that's how we pulled it out of the database.
Okay.
But I think what I'm hearing you say, perhaps you want the discharger facility a little bit more self-explanatory, or maybe the program associated with the NOV.
That might help put a little more context on it.
And that would be easy to do. We usually have a lot of notices of violation. And they're, as I said, informal enforcement actions. They're not even usually issued by us. They're usually issued by the program staff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them don't end up being enforcement actions. So I didn't put a lot of effort into providing summaries because it's not yet determined if it becomes an actual enforcement action. It's the first step.
Okay. So... thank you. I now understand about the code number letter combination. But what you're telling me is that summary statement noting 73 NOVs went out, and your description of what was entailed and why that group, that is the entry for that particular NOV type.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, we just added a little bit more of a description there because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And wanted to give it context.
Okay, now I understand. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Hunter. This is really, I think, an improved way for us to try and digest this data. My eyes really glazed over in the old format. I really was trying to be diligent and read it all, and it was hard to make much sense of it. I have a couple of comments. One on table 7, I think it would be useful to have maybe just a fourth column in that table that gives just a few words as to what's the nature of the violation. The second thing I really noted was, and this is kind of, it was easier to see in this format, actually, than in the old format, wandering around the office in San Luis Obispo, one of the first things I noticed was in the little lobby area outside the reception desk, there's a framed resolution. That's the minutes of the first board meeting of Region 3 when the region was established. And their very first action was to establish their headquarters for the region in San Luis Obispo. It hasn't moved since, obviously. Well, down the street, maybe. But when I went through this, I was just incredibly struck by how... throughout this enforcement stuff, how San Luis Obispo-centric it seems. And I've noted that before in the old format, but it was really easier to see in this one. And, I mean, I realize that some of these things are mechanical. Somebody doesn't file a report, they get a letter, right? But I looked it up, and San Luis Obispo is like 18% of the population and 18% of the acreage of the region. So going through here, Table 1, Final Administrative Civil Liabilities Order, orders issued, 3 of 7 are San Luis Obispo.
Table 2, proposed expedited payment program letters, 2 of 2 for San Luis Obispo County. Table 3, cleanup and abatement orders, 1 of 1. Table 4, cease and desist orders, 1 of 1. Table 5, time schedule orders, 1 of 1. Table 6, notices of noncompliance for industrial stormwater. And I realize that is just a mechanical thing, but 8 out of 20 are San Luis Obispo. Table 7, excluding the 73, which are kind of all lumped together as the mechanical, non-reporting, maybe non-existent now farms. Of the rest, 11 out of 22. And I'm trying to understand, what is San Luis Obispo County different? Does it have more violations? Is it just something where the staff is more present and more likely to be going to lunch at a restaurant and seeing the water seeping out behind the restaurant? I don't know.
All right, well, I have an answer for you.
Okay, good.
Because I have a table that's a little bit, has more detail in it. So what I looked at is, yeah, it does look, for example, for table 7, it does look like San Luis Obispo has more notices of violation. However, when you look at the reason for the notice of violation, they're not really inspection based. They are database queries, they're referrals from Fish and Wildlife, they are complaints from the public, they are just reviews from self-reporting through CWICS. So 95% of these are actually based on reviews of self-reporting, reviewing reports that show that they haven't submitted a report on time, or a database query like SMARTS or the GeoTracker database for irrigated egg. So I would agree with you, a lot of these notices of a violation are inspection based, but they don't happen to be inspection based. The other thing, what I did is I actually plotted up what it looks like for the number of permits we have per county. And San Luis Obispo has the most permits. I think that, and then next is Santa Barbara County. So I think what's happening is we just have more permits, therefore there's more potential for violations. Because I think San Luis Obispo County still has a lot of growth going on. There's a lot of development. Santa Barbara County that has limited development. I think San Luis has reached a point where now there's the urban areas are starting to encroach more on the waterway, so they need more 401s. The stormwater permits, there's a lot more stormwater permits in San Luis Obispo County than any other county. So what I did is I compared the notices of violation for stormwater and the number of permits for stormwater, and the pie charts look identical. So I think what's happening is there are just more permits in San Luis Obispo County, and that's why it looks like there's more in San Luis Obispo County. But the other reality is, for someone that, like one of the program staff that manages, say, San Luis Obispo County, and they need to follow up on a complaint, they can follow up on one complaint within an hour because the drive's not there. If it's Santa Cruz, it's a 3-hour drive, 3 hours back. So that's just the reality of it, that you can get to your complaint area quicker in San Luis. So there is maybe a little of that, but in terms of bias, I don't see it, just based on the details that I've just described.
Okay, thank you.
And I see Karina saying, "Oh, goody, I don't see Salinas there."
It's hard to predict. That's why when we talk about performance measures, I've been racking my brain how to do that, because you can't compare year to year, because there's different enforcement actions every year. So there's you can't predict when there's sewer overflows. You can't say, well, we're going to have 5 this year and we're going to have 5 next year. You know, you just can't. So I'm trying to figure out how I can do the dashboard for you to show how we're doing. But I think this is a good start to show you accomplishments.
Yeah, so, you know, I also like the format. I also, you know, like your passion in your job. It shows. And, you know, the success to be good at what you do is to love what you do. And it shows. So I just wanted to put that little comment because you're doing a great job.
I like it. I love negotiation, and I don't mind a fight once in a while.
Oh, that's so Dutch in you.
Exactly right.
So I just want to accentuate the point that Dr. Wolf made. We knew, and a couple of us stumbled across this idea where we were contemplating a reorg 2 years ago, and the management team and I guess I'll say it was Harvey and I, stumbled across this idea. We're trying to think of ways to grow Taya's experience. And we thought, it just hit us like a hammer. Unfortunate. And we actually had no idea how good she would be at it. We thought she would be good, and we had no idea how good she would be at it at the same time. She's been just outstanding. And you can see it. I mean, she's slowly factoring in prioritization and organization and the stuff that she brings to her other programs into this. And that was the idea behind it, was to influence this program with those great skill set, you know, the great skill sets that she has. And I just want to echo your comments about that. She's done a great job. And Todd is an absolute surgeon at doing casework, you know, with respect to enforcement. He's a super level-headed guy. Doesn't let passion cloud anything. You know, he's the perfect enforcement person.
Just want to pile on here. I, you know, in reviewing this and having a chance to hear from you as well as from Mr. Robertson on improving our effectiveness and showing what we actually accomplish and all of the data and ways in which we apply the data relative to regulation. I often overlook the kind of the soft skills that go with that. You're all scientists, you're all technicians, but some are reluctant to allow or to be over to get themselves into situations where they're overwhelmed by the greater context, the social context, the political and policy context. And some of what you shared with me, I learned a great deal about your approach to enforcement, which I think is probably, you know, when people think of the regional board, that's what they think of. And to have someone with your ability, as you said, I love to negotiate, but it is a process of determining a fair and reasonable approach to a situation that has occurred. A violation is not something that people intentionally, I would say most of the time, intentionally are not thinking that they're just going to go ahead and violate, you know, the order that they're under. And what you do about that. And then when we get down to the really small scale mom and pop operations that we've talked about, dry cleaners and smaller type businesses, that, you know, that gets into some very difficult, I'm sure, conversations. And so I thank John for reminding us, you know, how effective you are at handling those situations. And I hope continuing to build a relationship with the regional board to the region, the residents of the region, because as we acknowledge to each other often, many people don't know about the regional board and its authority and its work, how important it is to public health and to the health of the environment. And but when we knock on the door and let them know there's a problem, it's not good news. So I really appreciate having a chance to see through a different lens what enforcement looks like, and I also just want to thank you for leading a good team and a good process.
Thank you.
Yes, just want to say thank you, Taya and John and others. I really like the new format. It's kind of exciting with a new executive director. Is that what you are, John? Executive officer, sorry. To see some changes happening. Even if they're fairly small, I think it's more efficient for me to read, therefore to learn, and more pleasant to look at with the eyes. So good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
So do we have any other item on enforcement you'd like to cover?
No, that's it for enforcement. Now I'm going to offer to the board options. We like options, right? We can call it here, or we can address the executive officer's report. I'll leave that up to the board of what you want to do at this point.
What's the view of my colleagues? How much time do you need?
As much as you, or as little as you like, I could probably move through it in about 10 minutes.
My only concern is that Mr. Young isn't here and might want to talk about some of the...
Right. He might actually like to talk about the supplemental channel maintenance item.
Oh, right. You're going to cover that. We need to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like me to take up a portion of it or just hold off altogether?
I think I'll hold off. You know, if it's 10 minutes, we could put the 10 minutes tomorrow, and that way we do have...
Couple board members.
But I appreciate your looking at, trying to shorten tomorrow, but this will give us the impetus tomorrow to be efficient and...
Right. And tomorrow, I'm going to just tee that up a little. So tomorrow is an off-site board meeting in concept.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's no decision items. They're bigger picture strategic discussions. So I would say come with that mindset tomorrow, is that we're not here to set the ag order or adopt some MPDS permits. We're talking much bigger issues. So,
all right. So it is 4:05, and this will conclude our Thursday, September 22nd. Central Coast Regional Water Board meeting. See everyone tomorrow. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.